Welcome, everybody, to episode 330 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. I'm your joyful host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby, my Robin, if you will.
That's right.
If I were Batman, you'd be my Robin.
The power of positive thinking. Jeff's doing great today. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Don't you just hear it in my voice? Especially before the show, you know, I don't want it to come across like it always does, Jeff.
It always does.
You're right.
Everyone can tell.
We didn't have a show last week, did we? I think some things came up, and we had some things came up. Before we get into today's show, we're going to have some people on from WP Shout to talk about what they're doing. They have a new sort of community-based learning tool development center that they're launching that we'll talk a little bit more about. But quick shout out to, first of all, WordCamp Wilmington. I didn't realize this, but WordCamp Wilmington was scheduled. It's in North Carolina, scheduled to be September 22nd and 23rd. That event has been canceled due to Hurricane Florence, which is expected to make landfall on or near Wilmington, North Carolina on Friday afternoon as a somewhere between a Cat 2 to Cat 4. It doesn't really matter. It's supposed to stall out. It's going to be a lot of rain, a lot of wind, a lot of damage down in the South Carolina, North Carolina area. So I think they made the right call there. So if you were planning on going to that event, scratch your plans. You're not going. And by the way, hope everyone down there in the, from Virginia down to the Georgia border on the coastline takes the necessary precautions. And we hope the best for you. Stay safe. And hopefully we see this through. So, and this actually becomes the second event in 2 years where a tropical system has actually delayed or postponed a WordCamp event. Back in 2016, Hurricane Matthew caused WordCamp Orlando to postpone and actually held it, I think, in November. Mm-hmm. And that was a late hurricane. That was in October. So
but that was the same thing with LoopConf. Was that 2 years ago?
Yes.
I made it halfway there. I drove from Wisconsin to Atlanta and then found out it was canceled and turned back around.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a bummer.
But yeah, it was no joke. It was the right thing to do. There's when people's safety is at risk.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing you want to do is have people, there's mandatory evacuations to get out, and you don't want to have an event where
that's right.
You're encouraging people to come in. That's counterintuitive to
what you should be doing. People need to be able to plan. And so you need to be able to be very clear and upfront and obvious about the fact that the event is no longer happening. Mm-hmm. The longer that you wait is the longer that tension builds and that people start to get frustrated about what's going on. It is just the right thing to do to take a firm stance and say, we're just going to postpone and that we'll figure it out later.
Mm-hmm. So without further ado, let's bring on all of our guests onto the show today. We're going to have so many guests. Esteemed guest, I'll put it that way. We'll start off with Alex Denning, who is a member of the WP Shout team. Alex, thanks a lot for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much for having us.
And we'll just go on down the line here and introduce you guys one at a time. But Alex, give us a brief primer as to who you are and what you do in the WordPress space.
No pressure.
No pressure. I set up a website called wpshout.com in 2009 when I was figuring out WordPress. Back in the day. And I've been doing bits since then. Turns out I, having started a blog about WordPress development, turns out I am no good at and also can't do WordPress development. But it turns out I like marketing. So I figured that out. And now I run a company called Ellipsis Marketing, and we solve marketing problems for WordPress businesses.
And I believe our next two guests, David Hayes and Fred Myers, you two gentlemen, I believe you guys acquired WP Shout from Alex, correct? And we'll start off with David.
Yeah, and news broken on the Tavern podcast 5 years ago. We bought it because we are interested in teaching people, basically, and that's what we've been doing ever since.
And as I understand it, so you guys were rolling along with WP Shout, and then next thing you know, hey, Alex comes back. Alex, how did you end up coming back and taking on more of an active role on WP Shout?
So I passed the site to Fred and David when I started university, and more or less, or college, as you call it in the States, and more or less came back when I finished college. And, you know, it was... they weren't so keen on the whole marketing thing. That was what I was doing. It was obviously knew the site well, so it was a good fit.
All right. So, David, what have you guys been up to lately with WP Shout? I know you've got the newsletter. You guys teach, and you guys have those really in-depth tutorials. But tell us what's new.
Sure. Yeah. So we've been, you know, we've launched a couple paid courses in the last couple of years, and those have done pretty well for us. But I've had this burning need in the back of my head to help people in ways that like written material just can't, because, you know, people get stuck on different things and those sorts of things. And so what we're on here basically to launch is called the WP Shout Pro Community. And the idea is that, you know, people learn best from actually humans rather than like words written on pages or videos.
Yeah, I mean, both videos, they have a good support system and other sort of in the same boat they are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think like WordPress meetups and WordCamps are great, mostly because you actually can talk to another human who is like, yeah, it is weird that the way, you know, whatever plugin doesn't work in that way. Or, you know, just someone who can affirm for you that, yes, that part is strange. Here is how to get around it in a way that, you know, no amount of written tutorial is likely to reassure you in that way and help you puzzle through, like, oh, you know, a classic thing people talk about is the way that, like, Stack Overflow is great if you know exactly what you have a problem with. But when you don't know what your problem is, it can lead you down very misguided rabbit holes very quickly.
And speaking of communities, and you sort of bring this up, and it reminds me of the days I was thinking about this. I always think about the past for some reason with the tavern. But back in the early days, you know, 2008, 2009, when I was really starting to get my feet wet with WordPress, start learning about, you know, parameters and things you could do with plugins and bits of code, I would write about things I was learning as posts on the tavern, and people in the comments would suggest other tidbits we can learn, or if I had a specific question on how to do something, we would end up helping each other out. And there is just an awesome feeling that comes with being part of a community that you're both contributing to and learning from. And when everybody's helping each other, it's like internet magic, you know, and man, I miss that magic. So hopefully that's sort of something that you guys are going to try and recreate with your, WP Shout Pro community.
For sure. I mean, I think the like human to human connection is a big part of the idea. I think one of the things that for me is really true is that a lot of things are given the name community when really it's like a forum or it's just like a chat room. And those things are really good if you're able to like go into a space like that and feel at home, which is not true for most people. I'm always a little like ill at ease in a place. Where I'm just like given this cavernous chat room in which I can say things and hope that people listen, because it's not very human to like give you just like this virtual space and just declare that you've created community, because community is about like actual connection between human beings in general and not about, you know, simply having a venue at which things can convene. Like, you know, I can create a building, but without anyone there, there's no community to it. It's the people who actually go into it that matter. And so facilitating connections between humans is a big part of what's important to me about this idea. Is it obviously like part of the pitch is that Fred and I have expertise and people have learned from us and you should come and like benefit from that. But there's also a ton to be said for like having a peer guide you through a thing that they're a little more expert than you are on. Rather than like us, you know, perhaps missing, you know, I'll pull Fred in on this. Like, you know, a lot of things, you know, you forget after 4 years that part was really hard for some reason. and like the tacit knowledge stuff we always talk about is a thing that you really need a human to sit there and explain it to you for you to like notice the gap that like you just never ever can bridge on your own.
So come on in here, Fred. Give us your take, sort of your perspective on what you're offering with the WP Shop Pro community.
Yeah, I mean, David is really kind of nailing it. The idea is that you have some amount of expert support so that if you hit a technical problem that you don't know how to get past, you have just a ready resource that's just there that can help you and can help you at the level of like looking at your code on your screen, on your hosting, in your environment and saying, oh, you know, hey, this is actually like this is a browser caching problem. And yeah, the way to solve that is you just sort of change your style sheet version. Isn't that weird? It works this way. Here's the documentation that explains it. So there's that level of kind of support and giving people a bit of a safety net so that they're not stuck essentially on technical problems that are very, very hard to kind of back solve if you're just stuck in the middle of them. And then the other, you know, piece that David's been mentioning is this sense of like, yeah, we're in this together. Like, you know, we're learning, you know, perhaps you're a little stronger in, let's say, jQuery, and I'm a little stronger in CSS. And, you know, how can we help each other? How can we get interested in kind of supporting each other in our development learning and in our work as WordPress developers?
Oh, I miss you say all the magical words of what the WP Tavern forum and community was like back in 2008 and 2009. And it was so cool when we were just helping each other out and posting code snippets and whatnot. And today it's just like, arr, Gutenberg, arr, arr. It's pretty much, you know, what it's come to. But with John's help, hopefully later this year, you know, some things will be put into place or I can sort of bring that back, but we'll see. Speaking of community, John, what do you know about community? I mean,
very little.
Okay.
Yeah, very little. But I think David nailed it, though, is you can't just bolt a forum onto a thing or a Slack chat room. You can't just announce that you have this cathedral to learning and expect for people to come and enjoy themselves there. You kind of need to have people already there, and then the software is there to supplement that. You need to have to identify that there is a group of people that need attention or an outlet or a home or something, and you need to kind of nurture that community first and then solve the technical issues later. We see this all the time with even in the real world where there are cities or villages or towns that have a community center and nobody goes to them. And it's because there isn't anybody that's really moderating that physical space. There might be a need, but people don't know that they're welcome there, or the rooms that are available at your community center might not be adequate for the people that want to use that space. And so these are real world problems that do manifest themselves on the internet or virtually with one another. And so you do need to have, for lack of a better word, you need ushers, you need a concierge, you need people that are sitting at the desk that are there guiding you and helping you and telling you, here's what's available, here is who is available, here are the people that are here to help you. And without those people, then literally nothing happens. And so I think it's awesome that you guys together are offering this to the greater WordPress community, because you're right that there are the WordPress.org support forums, and they are there sort of for a very diverse and open group of folks, for plugins, for core, for ideas, for kvetches. There's a lot that's happening there, but it is a big abyss. It is a lot of pressure to jump into a forum that is that many people and is that active. And try and figure it out, the same as it is with WordPress core Slack. There's 100 channels now, and everyone has meetings booked and scheduled, and then there's the make.wordpress.org sites, and then there's the comment river there, and there's a lot going on there too. And so you're jumping out of a moving car into a falling airplane, and you're hoping to survive the whole thing. And so to provide an alternative and to double down on making sure that developers or designers or marketing folks have a support system is a huge need, I think. And so I think it's great that you guys are focusing on that.
And I'll ask this to Fred, but I think what really sets this apart, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to learn in the WordPress space. You got your video courses, you got your tutorials, you got your different ways of learning, audiobooks, podcasts, what have you. But I think what you guys are doing here is that direct person-to-person mentorship, somebody you can ask, you know, these experts. I think that's probably one of the things that sets this apart from other areas in the WordPress ecosystem where you can learn from, right, Fred?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, you know, we run WP Shout, and we have, you know, courses we have up and running, which is essentially the guide we put together to the fundamentals of WordPress development. And it's a mixture of text, videos, code examples, infographics. So all of those sort of standard ways of communicating tech material we have been doing for a long time, and we love them for what we love them for. But what they're really difficult for is kind of bridging gaps in knowledge that are complex. Mm-hmm. So for example, you think, you know, you're asking, well, which, you know, forum plugin do I use to do this? And it turns out
you need press always.
Okay. Fair enough.
Just kidding.
So bad example. you're going, which forum plugin do I need to do this? And it turns out that you need to be registering a custom post type, and you don't really know what a custom post type is or how the data is stored and why that's the right fix for your problem and not a form plugin. And it's like there is no tutorial on earth that's going to take your actual question and back you up to the point where you can learn what you need to learn, which is this sort of kind of atmospheric kind of tacit knowledge that is not only inherent in the answer to your question, but is inherent in the questions you're even able to ask. And so that kind of human ability to go, I get what you're asking, but like, can we take it back a step? And maybe you need to learn about this. Like, that is something that we've basically, like, it's been clearer and clearer. It's just like sitting right in the middle of our horizon. Like, this is the next step for us as WordPress educators. We need to be able to communicate this kind of stuff. The inspiration for the pro community is really bound up in that.
And David, I wonder how many times when you're helping somebody out, you say, hey, let's take a step back and hey, did you realize that this isn't core? That why are you rebuilding the wheel? I mean, this is, and you sort of walked them through, and I just
wonder. Oh, for sure. I mean, I talked to so many people at like my local WordPress meetup. I've taught classes locally. I've done tutorials, and in general, I think a lot of what people struggle with in WordPress is just not knowing what's there. You know, everything is there are so many things that are available there, but you don't realize what they are until you suddenly need them. And it's hard when you do need it to ask the right question of it. If that makes sense, like, you know, okay, you need a custom post type. Well, I don't even understand what that is a great example of, like, you know, so many people who I pitch them the idea that they want a place to store testimonials on a WordPress site. And they go to like, well, I'll make a page, I'll make a post. You know, these people are, I think, a little below the level that our pro community is targeting, but that's such a common sort of issue that they know it's possible, but they don't understand what a custom post type is because that terminology is honestly not the best, but it, you know, it's also just like, you have to get used to a lot of the contours of the ecosystem and know, like, oh, that's what a taxonomy is. That's what it can do. That's what it can't do. It's just not a thing that's immediately clear when you're like, yeah, I'm trying to make a WordPress theme. Like, you know, you don't have to learn each of those pieces. And so you have these, especially from a self-education perspective, you just have these gaps of like, you don't realize that it's a gap until you're suddenly like face down in the puddle of the problem, so to speak, where you're just like at risk of drowning because you're overwhelmed by the whole thing. When you asked a question earlier, it reminded me of Fred and I have always, one of the touchstones is to like just run this command on the command line. It's such a common thing in like programming tutorials, which is incredibly opaque to someone who doesn't know what a command line is. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things like that in this ecosystem where, you know, if you came up a specific way, like if you've been a programmer for 20 years and, you know, used to do Linux server administration, you're picking up WordPress, you know that. And it's like, mm-hmm. duh, how could you not know that? But if you're coming at it from the perspective of like, you know, an end user who just like ran a WordPress site for a little while and is into it, like that is an incredibly like confusing idea. Mm-hmm. Like, what even does a command line do? Right. Where do I find one?
Well, and half the time, if you don't, and this is my, I mean, I love WPCLI for the power that it provides, and it is an amazing piece of software for WordPress, but it is opaque. If you don't look into what the commands are doing, you are placing a very enormous amount of trust into the code that someone has given you to hope that it actually does only the thing you wanted it to and not every other possible thing that you weren't expecting. Like for the things that, you know, like I'm a decent full stack-ish developer, but there are times where I'm like, I have no idea what this specific Nginx config is supposed to do. And so then you look for docs. The docs are like, well, that's not really helpful, but I guess this is what I'm doing with this. Is what I will hope this does what it's supposed to do. Buffers, timeouts, all these things. We're like, well, I guess that seems like the right answer, but you don't really know. And so we take that little bit of that for granted with WordPress, I think, because we have a fully filled in, fleshed out codex. We've got a lot of documentation and so on. But eventually it does become like handing someone an encyclopedia of terms and hoping that they come back out of that with the right word. And it's just not going to happen. And like what you guys are going to provide really kind of bottles up the best part of the WordPress community experience, which is the like jamming with other people. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a problem and I've got a problem and we're going to pick up our instruments and we're going to play together for a little while and come out with something better when we're done. And like you do that at a WordCamp or you do that with your coworkers or colleagues in person. But the more that we work online and we're all remote workers and we're far enough from each other is you really lose that the pair programming of like sitting down with someone, like figuring out the tough problems together, and then like having that camaraderie and that like coming out of a bad, you know, potentially hard problem together is really the most joyful part of doing all of this. And so, and David specifically with seeing the board games that are sitting behind you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was going to ask about those.
You know, that is a type of, experience that it does not compare with playing games online. Like I love gaming online as much as the next person. It's a lot of fun. They spend mm-hmm. hours and hours doing it, but you sit down and play a board game. You play Ticket to Ride with somebody, you know, whatever else is a Connect different form. Kind of fun. It doesn't translate very well online. And so the fact that you guys are concentrating on bringing that kind of pro concierge experience to WordPress developers, designers, professionals is a big deal. I think it's cool. Mm-hmm.
So,
go ahead.
I was just gonna throw in like a big part of this is like, to me, a big part is like a lot of people who are doing WordPress are working remotely. And in many ways, that's the dream. But there's also like the downside of it, which is that like, oh, I haven't seen a person in a day and a half, you know? And like that.
Don't
I
get
don't
me
think...
started on the downsides of remote Jeff, work. We'll be here
Jeff
all day.
Jeff prefers that, actually. Jeff is like, gosh, I had to see someone today and it was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and people are all over the map on that. But, you know, I think, John, what you were highlighting is that like, you know, part of the thing is like seeing another human and just being like, this is fun. I'm having fun with another human is very different than like, I'm having fun alone in my room. Yes, and both exactly. are valid, but yep. one gives you something. It feels like a need for connection or a loneliness or, you know, however, whatever term you want to apply to it. The core thing is that like, there is a need for like actually having another person, like have that mind meld experience that people are like hungry for in general. And I don't know that I can facilitate that perfectly, but I'm interested to try. And I really think I have some good ideas. I'm pretty sure that I think this community can and should hold, and it'll be stronger if they succeed. So.
So before we wrap it up here, I know you guys are opening up pre-sales next week. So one of you three can answer: A, what are we looking at in terms of prices, and B, what exactly is somebody getting? We talked about the one-to-one, the mentorships, but I mean, is it like a special code or special area of the site? I mean, what is it that the customer will access when they purchase a WP Shout Pro community membership?
So I'll start in on the features, and maybe Alex, you talk pricing and timelines. Does that sound like a plan? So feature-wise, there's a number of things. The community is the kind of central meeting place of the community will be a private premium Slack channel. And what that lets us do is have, you know, a Slack account, and that lets us have sort of channeled out conversations about anything WooCommerce, backend development, front-end development, SEO. And what it also lets us do is it lets us have video calls with screen sharing between any combination of the members in the community. And so that's going to be kind of the platform or the backbone. And what people get is they get, every member gets sort of an hour per month of direct sort of one-on-one mentoring with me and or David, depending on the nature of their specific need and whether David and I are stronger for that. They get a bi-weekly deep dive, which is kind of for the entire community, which is us just sort of taking, it's essentially like a long WordCamp talk with questions throughout. So we might dive into like WP Query, or we might dive into Gutenberg and how it stacks up to page builders and what we recommend for Gutenberg and page builders moving forward. And it's like a 70-minute presentation that one of us or another expert in the WordPress community gives with text questions throughout and then a 20-minute question period. So the idea is that if you've never been super like cognizant of how WP Query works, you can get the whole download and ask questions, and that actually sort of changes or informs the content itself. So there's no blowing past you while you sit confused at a WordCamp talk. So there's that. There's we organize people into basically masterminds of maybe 4 to 8 people. So that's a chance to really create that kind of small group community and really help organize people with complementary skills into groups where they can, you know, really meet on a regular basis and help each other. There's a lot else. There's member benefits, discounts on related products. But the backbone is like, here you are, you want to know something, you post it up on this premium Slack channel and people look at it and they say, geez, can I see your screen? This isn't making sense to me. Maybe you get in a screen call together. Hey, it's still not making sense. You know, can we flag down Fred or David? We're lurking chat. and that's sort of the kind of the fundamental kind of day by day mechanism by which stuff gets.
You know, I almost want to register an account just so I can get you guys to talk about Gutenberg for an hour.
Heck yes, we'll talk about Gutenberg.
What a
do we need to scream? It sounded like you're used to that being like sort of a deafening roar of blind rage, and we can do that. I mean, we've been pretty polite on this, but
so Alex, why don't you inform our listeners of prices, timelines?
Sure. So it basically costs $100 a month, and it's available in 3 and 6 month commitments with a bit of a discount if you take the 6 month option. And that just speaks to it's a community. It needs, you need to have a little bit of time to realize the full value from it. We're launching pre-sales next week, which is really cool. They'll be open until October. And the slight kicker is it's kind of Kickstarter style to make the peer benefits really work. We need quantity of people. So we need 75 essentially pre-orders to make this happen. And that will ensure that the peer benefits actually exist. So if we don't get to that, then we won't do it. But people have been asking us for this for, you know, since like at least 2013, if not before. It's definitely something that should exist, and that's what we're going to try and do. And so you can go to wpshout.com and click a link to the courses.wpshout.com site, which is where it will all be.
Awesome, man. So I congratulations to you guys. I hope you guys, this is a successful project. I hope success for everybody, but for you guys as well. And sounds like this will be a great opportunity for those who maybe are just trying to level up their development game and just, you know, having that option to just ping one of you guys and say, hey, you're the expert here to, you know, to figure something out. I think is a pretty cool benefit. And hopefully the community turns into this place where people who are or who take part in this end up getting that feeling where they're part of something that's much bigger than themselves, which I think is always one of the coolest parts of being part of a community.
Well, and this is like a value proposition, right? There are so many folks out there where spending the $300 or $600 saves them $3,000 or $6,000 in time spent. And so to be able to log in, have a call with somebody and just jump ahead technically means you struggle less, you end up happier by the time that you're done. You've taken advantage of something that a resource that people are providing that you wouldn't have otherwise taken advantage of, and everybody's happy, right? It's the customers are happy, you're happy, you had a good time. It really sounds awesome. Like it seems totally worth it, and I'm excited to see where you're at 6 months from now.
So anybody, I have a link to the announcement post in the show notes. Also, you can find information about this on WPShout.com. Alex, Fred, David, thank you guys for joining us on the show and giving us some insight into the WP Shout Pro community.
Thank you guys.
Great.
Thanks so much for having us.
Cheers, y'all. Thanks.
Cheers, y'all. Just like it's the whole tavern thing. Cheers, y'all. So yeah, definitely check that out. John, we do have some things we need to get to as far as some WordPress headlines. And the first one I'll talk about, just so because you're excited to talk about this, is dark mode. Dark mode is possibly coming to a WordPress dashboard near you. So for the past year, Daniel James, he's been developing a plugin called Dark Mode for WordPress. The plugin is active on more than 1,000 sites. And what Dark Mode does is it replaces the white and gray colors in the back end of WordPress with darker colors that I say are easier on the eyes. I mean, they're easier on the eyes for me. And James has actually published a proposal to merge the plugin into Core. Now, there are three things he's outlined about dark mode up front. A, it does not have high contrast mode to meet accessibility needs. B, it is not a new admin color scheme for the back end. And C, it is not a tool that helps with vision issues. In fact, dark mode has been developed so that it can actually work in tandem with admin color schemes. So as you have darker colors for the central content area of the back end, you can change the sidebar and the admin toolbar admin color schemes. Now, one of the things about dark mode is, well, there are a couple things, but the biggest issue is plugin support. And if dark mode is merged into WordPress Core, that means that every plugin out there that has their own sort of UI screen has to build in support for dark mode, or else you'll see something completely different. You'll have to build in support for both the default color scheme and dark mode, which is could be a little bit of a development load on plugin developers. However, James already has a document on the GitHub page that explains how you can add in the necessary hooks or filters to add in support. But he also says that if plugins are already using the native UI elements, that it should be very easy to build in support for the plugin. Now, the proposal hit somewhat of a snag. I know Gary Pendergast, the core developer, he listed out a long checklist of things that feature plugins have to go through.
And friend of the show.
And, in fact, he'll be on the show September 26th, just a little bit of an FYI. He listed these requirements from the core handbook. The plugin doesn't meet a lot of them, but James kind of contended that there are some things in that book that his plugin doesn't feel like it should have to go through some of them, that maybe all the requirements are not set or not good for every instance of every plugin. And so we get into some of the benefits of dark mode and what have you. In fact, I actually had a poll when I published this on the tavern. I was kind of wondering, you know, which admin color scheme do people use? And I was actually shocked. I thought there'd be more people with Midnight or some other color scheme, but with 70% of the votes, that's 216 votes, 216 people use the default admin color scheme in WordPress. So I actually like Midnight. Midnight's my favorite one, and that came in second place at 43 votes. But you, sir, you like dark mode, and why?
Oh, I love dark mode. Dark mode will happen, I think. I'm pretty confident that dark mode is...
I mean, it appears to be happening across other hardware and software.
Right. That's right. And I think the way that James implemented dark mode is the way that it should be. The foundation of how WordPress admin is colored should be either light or dark, the same as your code editor is, or the same as which is kind of starting to be the trend that your operating system is. And so having been on the macOS Mojave beta since it was available, and having used the dark mode for Mojave since day zero of having it installed, at first it was a little, it needed some work, but...
I mean, do you use dark mode at all hours of the day or just during the evening?
No, so I use it all the time. The problem, like is outlined in this post, is only really when there is an app that doesn't know how to use it. It's pretty jarring when you open up an app that doesn't match or isn't dark, because you're
everything is white, surrounded by dark.
That is exactly what happens. And so that's a pretty bad deal. It's not a good experience. But having the foundation be light or dark, and then being able to switch between the actual admin color scheme is the right way to do this, I think, because the color scheme is complementary to the foundation, which forever and a day has always been very bright white. And so that's okay. There's evidence to support all theories or ideas that the bright white is damaging to your eyes, or that the dark is really not all that helpful.
Based on screen technology use, energy savings between.
And the thing with OLED displays and the energy savings there is that only really kicks in on modern displays when you have true absolute black, when it's 0000000 hex. Like, anything that is above and beyond that is going to trigger the regular old pixel to power up and display something. There is no currently yet a display technology that works with this like variable power output thing. It's pixels on or the pixels off. That's really all that it is. And so the power savings are negligible, I think, but they may become an important factor later. And so that's where like the discussion in the comments is that dark mode for WordPress is premature. And I think I agree in terms of having it be built into WordPress core today. I don't think that the proposal was, let's merge this now. I think it is, let's make sure that we are continuing to improve and iterate on what dark mode is and means, so that when everyone wants a darker WP admin experience, that we have something that's ready and available and stable, and that folks are prepared for it. One of the things that there's an easy way now in modern web browsers to kind of work around some of the what you don't really know of the uncertainties of whether or not you're using a bright white or a dark black background is just opacity. You can get really far by just making sure that you're using colors that are somewhat transparent, but still visible enough, where your reds and greens and blues and your whites and everything will inherit lots of things from the background color and create the necessary contrast no matter what the background color is. And if you really start designing or thinking within layers in what the color is that you're building on top of, and not just doing background white or background black, if you really start thinking with how those layers play into one another, that's how you're able to build one single set of style sheets or color rules that will be, generally speaking, pretty flexible, regardless of light mode or dark mode being enabled. There are lots of plugins, WooCommerce, Jetpack, even Akismet a little bit now, that have taken pretty aggressive admin design styling choices, where they are really truly abandoning all of the WordPress core UI elements in favor of their own. And that was never a good idea to do. I think it's great branding. It's good for differentiating your product in WordPress admin. It's good for all those things. But it's not friendly. It's a whole other set of UI conventions that people need to learn. It does not look like it belongs there. And so that's the idea with dark mode really is.
One of the plugins you're talking about is like WP Forms from Awesome Motive. They actually have modals that are completely designed that look nice, but they don't really look or use any of the WordPress native UI elements, I believe.
X Theme, Ninja Forms, Beaver Builder, there are a lot that like they, in order to, they're complex applications in and of themselves. And in order to be as advanced as they are, they have to invent new UI elements. They have no choice. WordPress admin does not give them, like we just with Scott Kingsley Clark on the show a couple of weeks ago, we don't have the fields or the form elements. We don't have the UI available like you have with Twitter Bootstrap or Framework 7 or Semantic UI or any of the others that are out there, where there is just not this bevy. There's not a toolkit of buttons and lists that you pick from. There's very few choices. And so if you are, or if you make the decision to own your own admin UI, then you are at a disadvantage here because you're not ready for a dark mode in WordPress admin. But if you're sticking with the UI conventions that WordPress provides you and really only bending those rules a little bit, you'll be okay. Even some of the stuff that we've done with BuddyPress or BBPress in the admin or Easy Digital Downloads works pretty well with dark mode. And the places that don't can be solved with some opacity tricks. But the reason I'm excited for it is because the switch to having your operating system be largely dark, having a code editor be largely dark, and having everything kind of fit the same motif is actually really enjoyable. It's an enjoyable experience. And so when I log into a WordPress admin at this point and it is not dark, it is the opposite of enjoyable. And I wish, you know, dark mode it would be nice to have that here for myself, not to force dark mode on people that don't want it, but to be able to select it for me as a user browsing a WordPress admin. I want dark mode on, turn it on, and that's okay. And then it will have a transition period where plugins need to write some CSS and adapt, but I'm really excited to see it. And the thing with dark mode, again, my closing note is that the metaphor is that everyone likes things that blend very nicely together. Like one of the things that we were able to do with BuddyPress and BBPress is make them work really well when they're both active with one another. And one of the reasons why I think Easy Digital Downloads and WooCommerce are successful with an add-on and extension model is because the add-ons blend really nicely with one another. They integrate very well. You activate something and they all kind of feel right. They feel like they fit together well. And so dark mode from the very beginning it blends really well with the rest of WordPress's admin area styling. And plugins should, I feel like, start thinking about supporting it because it is an enjoyable experience. So I'm excited to, I know the proposal's premature. I agree with that a little bit. But I'm excited to see some attention going towards it, and I'll probably end up trying to help it along a little bit too, because I really believe that it's the right thing to do.
There's a couple other things I was thinking about related to dark mode. Is that, well, first, there are some people that commented, you know, dark mode should remain as a plugin, but dark mode doesn't be as successful as it needs to be in WordPress without it being in core. And then they throw out the 80-20 rule, but the 80-20 rule in WordPress has been thrown out. The philosophy has been thrown out a long time ago. And every time you talk about don't add bloat to core, that's never ended up amounting to anything. That doesn't get you anywhere. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then I was thinking about the sort of default design. I think it was either at or around Crazy Horse time where Jen Milo held that contest where there's different color schemes, and the dark one won by a long shot. And that's why that's why we have kind of a dark background already as far as the sidebar and the Yemen toolbar is concerned. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of interest in sort of dark colors then. And then back in 2013, there is a George Cordes, an interactive designer and front-end developer based in Melbourne, Australia, submitted a project to the creative social network Behance.net. Mm-hmm. And at the time, and this concept image looks so pretty. It received so much press and love where people said they wanted this now. It was immediate. Mm-hmm. So you had this sort of Windows 8 or Windows 10 sort of with the opaque looking background, like a window. Then you had the dashboard. You had white or light gray colored font on top of these little window panes. Mm-hmm. And it just looked modern and sleek and just it looked a million times better than what we had before. And I think that also lends credence to this desire of having a darker colors in the back end. So I think now we're talking about 5-6 years later, dark mode, you see it in Apple products, you see it on websites. In fact, I love being able to browse Reddit from my bed and have a nighttime theme. You know, you just switch it on and everything is dark. So I think dark mode and WordPress in the back end is just a matter of when, not if.
Yep, I agree. I like that you brought up George's design from years ago because and hopefully, I mean, we should probably include a link in the show notes, but if you're listening at this point, then I would say click the link and go check it out because it's 5 years old at this point. And it still does look pretty darn good. And it's the opacity and the use of layers, and it's very lovely kind of colors and highlights on things. It takes a lot of inspiration from concepts that were, coming into fruition in 2013, and you can see hints at it now in the layers that are in iOS, and macOS is starting to bring a little bit of that back, and it's got some design inspiration from some Microsoft concepts and ideas, and some from Google. It's got bits and pieces from everything, and it kind of amalgamates all of them in a way that really feels appropriate. It feels like it works really well for WordPress admins. So I'm happy you brought that up because it is still a really lovely design. So yeah, I agree.
And for those of you out there who use the WordPress coding standards, just a little shout out that version 1.1.0 has been released on GitHub. This release includes more stringent function call formatting checks, which are explained in the handbook. There's links to that in the post. And there's also stricter checks for overrides of WordPress global variables. So if you use the WordPress coding standards, make sure you update them because a new version has been released. Mm-hmm. And the meetup group organizers can now earn a WordPress.org user profile badge. So if you've ever visited somebody's user profile on WordPress.org, you'll see that sometimes people have a bunch of badges because they're involved in many different parts of the WordPress project. But the WordPress community team has unveiled a new tool for Meetup Tracker, allow them to more easily accept applications from Meetup organizers looking to join the WordPress Meetup Chapter Program, which is the program where groups that are a part of this program, their meetup.com fees will actually be paid for by the WordPress Community Support PBC. So that's pretty cool. But if you are a WordCamp meetup organizer, you can submit some information that's being requested to a specific Google Doc, and this will be entered into a new system. Hopefully, it'll be updated information as a part of this whole thing. And you will be eligible to receive a new WordPress Meetup Organizer badge. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just an easy way. I mean, it's a little bit of a gamification of WordPress. The badges look cool. I don't have very many on my profile, but it's pretty cool. Okay. They have one for a community team, documentation, community, translation, plugin, support, core. So there's all kinds of different badges. I think that was always a pretty cool idea. In fact, that was part of the profile redesign back in 2014 is when they added badges.
Yeah, the thing with badges are they really are an important part of every assembly of people, really. If it's military, if it's a meetup group, if it's a word camp, if it's a car show, if it's anything, right? Like, we are humans sort of very naturally.
That's my badge.
There is the lowercase p police.
Yeah, see, that's my badge.
Protect and serve.
That's right. Where my badge.
Like, they're just a really natural feeling, like,
way to decorate. Yeah, it's nice to be able to tell people, point at them, point at your badge and say, look, you know,
that's right.
I do this and here's evidence.
Yeah. And I'm happy now that there's a rejuvenated group of designers and people that are talking about badges again. We've had a proposal for badges for Buddy Press and BB Press and the Metatrack for years that it's not a lot to add a badge, but once you add a badge, you can't ever really take it away. You don't want to remove someone's decoration from them. And so you've earned it, right? That's the philosophy.
A year later, we changed the man. We're reverting that change.
Yeah, right. It's stripping someone's badge or their decoration or their accomplishment from them is pretty drastic, is a pretty bad situation. And so it's important that the badge proposals get scrutinized and that they've got sign off on a lot of people and that it feels like it's the right thing to do. And so with the organizer badges, these were always the goals, was to have WordCamp organizers and meetup organizers and contributors and speakers to always have badges and ways to decorate our profiles for the things that we are proud of and acknowledge each other's accomplishments. So this is an easy win and an easy way to do that.
And Marcel Bootsman, he will be walking 700 kilometers to WordCamp Europe to raise funds for Donate WC. So next year, 2019, Marcel Bootsman, he will be walking 700 kilometers. That's 435 miles from his home in Rotterdam to WordCamp Europe in Berlin. Now, Bootsman, he's a WordPress consultant and WordCamp organizer, is going to be raising funds for Donate WC, which is a nonprofit organization or an initiative which is trying to provide global funds for people to help people in need to actually attend WordCamps if they need a little bit of financial assistance. So donations to Marcel Bootsman's this little event that he's doing, they'll go towards individually tailored sponsorships. You can actually donate towards his finances for the walk, and you can also donate to finances for Donate WC. I know Marcel, he's actually looking at route or different places along his route where people have donated their bed for him to sleep in, maybe That's donate right. their shower for him to clean up in, but he's already doing some training. And I think it was kind of funny in the post by Sarah when she asked him if he'll be walking home after WordCamp Europe, and Marcel replied, "You're kidding, right?"
Yeah.
I think that was pretty good. So if you're interested in supporting his journey and his initiative, we'll have links to where you can donate in the show notes. But wow, what a walk that's going to be.
I love this idea so much. Like, this is kind of what it's all about, is putting your time and effort into something so that other people are able to benefit from the initiative that you're doing. And it gives him something to blog about, which is a good use of WordPress, right? And gives us something to talk about while he's walking. So it'll be a good journey for us to keep track of on the show. I'm really excited to see how Marcel's walk ends up.
And by the way, between now and then, I'm going to work on getting Marcel on the show. I think it'd be cool to have him on and talk a little bit about his training, why he's doing this, and see if he expects to sleep with cows at any point No, in Fields on his journey. You know, just
I saw James Farmer commented on that post. I haven't seen James in a while. So
yeah, and he said great cause, and it was a perfect name for it too. So
I agree. Yeah,
there you go. So that's going to do it. In other news today, Gutenberg 3.8 was released. They introduced a sort of full screen option, which I think is actually pretty nice.
It's pretty
nice.
Now
you've got spotlight mode, this mode, full screen mode, there's all kinds of different modes. And they also added some things for developers, some important things. One had to deal with they completely rewrote some sort of library or whatever where they got a whole bunch more speed with regarding post. I know that's not a lot of information, but we'll cover Gutenberg 3.8 next week after we give it a week to simmer. In fact, oh, not next week. Next week there's no show. I forgot.
Next week is no show. It's a sad week.
So September 26th, Gary Pendergast is scheduled to be on, and we'll cover WordPress 3.8 then and talk a little bit more about the enhancements. We'll talk about feedback. It's going to be all Gutenberg all the time on this show, mm-hmm. front of the show. Next week, will be no episode, no new show. As I do every year, I will be taking the week off to celebrate my wedding anniversary. But this year feels more, I guess, this week of vacation feels more needed than in previous years, because I was telling John before the show, I just feel burnt out. I just want to be away from a screen or a piece of technology for a week. And yeah, I'll still have my phone on me and I'll still check some things, but you know, I just don't want to be sitting in front of a screen. I just need a break mentally. I'm messed up physically. I'm messed up. I just want a good night's sleep. I want to be able to wake up and actually do things that don't require typing. So I got a lot of yard work to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, well, so that's what's going to be happening next week. And then, you know,
a week is not a lot of time.
I might accidentally break my phone, break my desktop, and break the MacBook Pro. So when I come back after that week, I cannot work. I'm done. I'm done with technology. Let's see. I don't know.
Jeff, I think a week is not a lot of time. A week is not long enough for the FOMO and the withdrawal of what's going on to actually go away. I'm afraid that you'll take a week off and you're going to come back and feel not like you've made a lot of progress with your life and happiness and things.
Well, thanks, John. Thanks.
Take more time off. That's like, I think sabbaticals, companies that offer sabbaticals are 3 months off. Is enough time for you to get over the FOMO, for you to put things away, to feel, for the nerves to calm down a little bit, and to get comfortable with not having to log in or check your email or work on things, and just really cut the cord for a while like that. That would be what I would hope for you. Not that you'll do it, but just take some real time away, you know, mentally, physically, everything. Then you come back refreshed with renewed vigor and perspective on things and everything.
That's maybe cool. I come back wanting to open up my email client, or maybe I come back wanting to open Slack.
Right.
And maybe not half the conversations just turn into blah, blah, blah for me. So.
Well, I think, too, if we get the forums back on the tavern again, that was something that you find a lot of joy in. And so the discussion, the back and forth, the openness of the forums.
I appreciate it.
That might help, too. Yep. Before we go, I wanted to send a shout out to WordCamp Peoria, Illinois.
Oh.
That is happening this weekend, Saturday.
Is that a first?
15th. It is a first. WordCamp Peoria. Tickets are obviously on sale, 2018.peoria.wordcamp.org. I'm trying to convince Carrie that we should go. We have ton of stuff happening, so... Peoria's not real far, but there's just a lot happening right now in life in general, so it's hard to get away. But I would really like to go, and if we can't, I just wanted to say hi and send a shout-out to everybody that's out there. The small Midwestern camps are my favorite. They are the most fun, and so I hope they have a good weekend. And a good time.
After EDD 3.0 is released, you're going to need a sabbatical.
No kidding, right? All that happens is just straight to add-ons and sugar calendar. Yeah. It's just one from one to the other. And, so it's okay. But yeah, you know, and I think, you know, the thing is you've been writing for the tavern for a long time. You've done 300-plus episodes of this podcast. I think you, as much as anybody, has earned a legitimate time away.
For the company I work for, if you work for them for 5 years, you're eligible for a 3 month sabbatical. So we'll see what happens.
When's your 5 year?
This is my fifth year. A few months ago, it was my fifth year at Audrey Human Capital. So,
oh, good.
We'll see.
I bet you know someone that could probably help you get a sabbatical on the calendar. I feel like you should take it. I feel like it's important for you to take it. This is me pleading with you live on the show.
Well, I mean, I've seen so many people from Automatic on Twitter talking about their sabbaticals, and they write posts about what it's like, and then they come back and they say the sabbatical was the best thing that when you take a 3 month sabbatical, I don't really care when it is, because you're actually able somewhat to schedule it, you know, as to when you want to take it. But there's no bad time for a sabbatical to happen in your life. You know, it always comes at a good time. So we'll see.
And with Sarah being back now, Sarah and I can do the show. We'll figure it out. You'll be gone and we'll do the podcast too. I could do an intro right now. Welcome to episode 4302 Press Weekly.
All right.
I'm your host, John Jacoby. And with me as always is Jeff Chandler on sabbatical.
Yeah, right. If I'm joining you on the show on sabbatical, I'm not on sabbatical.
All right, you'll be in the mountains somewhere. You'll be exploring Antarctica. You'll be out enjoying the world. Bring your family in an RV.
I'll be in the backyard in an Adirondack chair, sleeping, doing nothing.
That's okay too. Yeah, everyone, it's what you should do.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JeffrO. And John?
On Twitter, where I'm avoiding talking about how disappointed I am about the Apple keynote today, and GitHub at JJJ and JJJ.blog, where I actually have to start blogging again because I haven't in a while, so... Yeah.
And use Gutenberg to do it too. None of that classic editor stuff.
I have been using Gutenberg. I have to update and check out what the most recent stuff is because I'm behind a week, but I'm excited to look at it.
All right. So everybody, again, if you live down on the Mid-Atlantic Southeast Coast, we hope all the best, hope for the best, but I hope you're prepared for the worst. And we'll talk to you again next Wednesday. No, we won't.
No, not next Wednesday.
See, I'm in such a habit. See, not next. Yeah. We'll see you in 2 weeks, everybody.
2 weeks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, John. Bye.